This is Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
As we all know, there is a downside to freedom of speech.
Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
In America, you have a right to be stupid.
Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
This is America, and in America, if something sucks, you're supposed to be able to get your money back.
Riot on the radio.
This is Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
Riot on the radio.
Bad news if you work at Hasbro. Hasbro is laying off 15% of its employees. Most workers took the news okay, but it left Mr. Potato Head in pieces. I know, I'm not proud of it. Hi, welcome to the show. Kenny Webster, you've tuned in. It's Monday, and, there's a lot to be said about Monday, but I'm not going to do it because, the weekend's over. You were having more fun yesterday on your couch watching football, eating potato chips, and now you're here sitting in traffic or maybe sitting at work or whatever it is you're doing listening to this radio show, and I hope to get you through your day just a little bit quicker. A lot going on the show today. I have a special guest coming by, one of the senior editors of a website called The College Fix. Have you ever heard that? Maybe you have. If you haven't, much like Campus Reform, it's a website that reports specifically on some of the peculiar things happening in the universities around the country. So we're going to get to that pretty soon, coming up in just a little bit. But today on the show, Megyn Kelly versus Jill Biden. Excuse me, Dr. Jill Biden. I'm sorry, Dr. Jill Biden. The latest from the CDC, police reform, the insanity in Memphis right now. We'll get to all that. But while we're talking about police videos, could I just start off with this? New video and audio of the Paul Pelosi attack is raising a lot of questions, kids. A lot more questions than answers. Anytime the media comes in, well, the media didn't do this. It was the government. But anytime there's a document or a video or something like that released on a Friday, isn't it always... aren't you always a little suspicious? Like, are they doing this to make people riot? You'll never convince me Paul Pelosi didn't have a personal relationship with that man. But the timing of it's so peculiar. All right, we'll get to that in a little bit. TheFederalist.com today reporting on this video and the 911 call related to the highly weird Paul Pelosi beating from October, all released over the weekend. So the whole thing is a little less mysterious in what we now know about the attack. And the attacker, he really did break into the Pelosi home using a hammer on a glass door. At least that's what the video seems to suggest. But now there are new questions about what exactly happened. David DePape, this guy broke into the home. And also the moment the police got to the scene. Have you seen the video? Doesn't it kind of look like nobody's opening the door? They open the door. The door just sort of mysteriously opens on its own. Neither of the two men are reaching for the door or touching the door or holding the door. It's possible the Pelosis have some cool auto door opening feature. You know, they're very wealthy after all, and they live near a tech hub. So maybe they know about some smart home device feature that makes your door open on its own. It's almost like, are we still sure there wasn't a third person there opening the door? Well, they claim there wasn't. And so the door opens, and there you see Paul Pelosi. Paul Pelosi has what appears to be in his left hand a cocktail, and in his right hand, the 82-year-old is holding a hammer. Well, they're both holding the hammer, and then the next thing that happens is there's attack that the man, DePape, the suspect, grabs that he's also, hits Paul Pelosi with it, the 82-year-old man standing there in his underwear. And there's no doubt there's more questions here because the police body cam footage is disturbing, but just as weird is Paul's 911 call. As calmly as can be, he tells the San Francisco police officer that there's a gentleman here waiting for my wife to come back. And he says, I guess we'll have to wait because Nancy was in Washington, D.C. and wouldn't be home for a number of days. Asked if he needs emergency assistance, he says, I don't think so, but asked if the Capitol Police are, quote, around. The operator tells him that he called the San Francisco police, to which Paul says, I understand. Then apparently talking to David DePape, the suspect, Paul Pelosi says, I don't know. What do you think? He says, like, you know, just kind of the way two bros talk to each other. The DePape seems to respond, but you can't really tell what he says. And then he says, I think everything's good, but I've got a problem. But he thinks everything's good, Paul tells the operator. He also says DePape, quote, just came into the house. And that he doesn't know who DePape is, but said he's telling me to put the phone down. The operator asked for DePape's name. And apparently being able to hear the operator, he responds, David DePape, my name's David. So was the call on speakerphone? We don't know. The criminal complaint against DePape said Paul was asleep in his bedroom when he encountered him. At some point, Paul was able to go to a bathroom to make the 911 call, but the suspect is clearly heard standing near him. Did he go with him to the bathroom? Did he not care that Paul was calling the cops? That's kind of weird, right? Since DePape told police after his arrest that he was there to physically harm someone, at least that's supposedly what they claimed. Wouldn't the involvement of police complicate that effort? I know the only acceptable opinion to voice about this in the eyes of the corrupt media is that DePape is a deprived, mentally unwell individual, and that this is the logical consequence of Donald Trump having stirred up violent white nationalist, racist, neo-Nazi, Hitler-esque extremists to go out and attack people. But how many of you have listened to that audio recording of DePape's interview with police after his arrest? He was a little overzealous in his conduct and his ambitions, but his account to political affairs and events of the not-distant past was not only not insane, it was actually pretty accurate. He told the cops that Democrats and Washington bureaucrats lied in criminal ways to take down Trump, which is true, and that it starts with Hillary Clinton, which is true. And none of that justifies violence at all. All of this is to say that if DePape has mental deficiency, some kind of extreme insanity, he did not sound incoherent or confused in the recording. The call to police happened at 2:23 a.m. According to the criminal complaint, less than 10 minutes later, two officers were at Pelosi's residence and knocking on the door. Now, it's unclear who opens it from inside, but there stood Paul and DePape, each holding the same hammer, but not in any apparent struggle. There also appears to be a beverage in Paul's left hand. He gets thirsty in these situations. Let's talk more about it right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Pursuit of Happiness Radio coming out your speaker.
This is Kenny Webster's Pursuit of Happiness on KPRC 950 Houston.
Someone has been putting razor blades on gas pump handles in North Carolina, more specifically in Forest City, North Carolina. Now, luckily, nobody in that area can afford to buy gas, so it's fine. But isn't that weird? Why do people do that? Why do people go through all the trouble to hurt strangers they've never met before? Weird, right? People are evil. They're sick. And maybe if we're looking at what took place over the weekend, well, the video that was released to Paul Pelosi, the incident was back in October. But maybe if we're really going to explain what took place there, it was just a bunch of crazy people acting nuts. Now, I'm not defending what David DePape did, but if you're just tuning in, I've been talking about this video of Paul Pelosi, and there's a report at thefederalist.com that details some of the stuff that I've been saying here. The call to police happened at 2:23 a.m., according to a criminal complaint. Less than 10 minutes later, two cops are standing at the Pelosi door, knocking, "Let us in." And again, you can't tell in the video who opens from the inside. Paul Pelosi has both of his hands full. In one hand, he's holding a drink. In the other hand, he's holding a hammer, which the suspect is also holding. There's a beverage in Paul's hand. Why would he be thirsty? And Paul says to the cops, "Hey, guys." And the officer says, "How you doing?" And Paul says, "How are you?" The officer says, "What's going on, man?" And DePape replies, "Everything's good." Paul again says, "Hi." It's a very surreal scene, right? What a bizarre. It didn't seem like he was in some kind of trouble when the guy came to the door. Which is perhaps why then, only then, did a cop order that the hammer be let go. To which David says no. He and Paul begin to struggle over it. But Paul Pelosi is an older man. I don't know if he's drunk or not because he's got that cocktail. And DePape tugs it away and then charges, bludgeoning Paul. Though most of it isn't directly visible in the footage. You can't actually see him get hit. But I'm sure he did, right? Like, I'm not trying to cast doubt on that. So where were the two men before answering the door? What were they doing? It doesn't look like they were fighting before the cops arrived, given the calm greeting Paul offered. How did the two end up holding the hammer together? Why did the suspect decide to become aggressive only after police had come to the house? The ramifications of a prominent Democrat spouse being assaulted are pretty limited. But that from the beginning, this has been so weird, and that the corporate media continue trying to cut the mic off of anyone who notices, doesn't it just make it all the more mysterious? Why? We don't know. We do know that that was not the only video that was released over the weekend. At a strange time, right? Late in the day. Once again, leading you to wonder, is the media covering something else up? Report today at Reason.com details how on Friday, the city of Memphis, Tennessee, released footage of five cops killing a man named Tyree Nichols. And right at the beginning of the weekend, we were told, oh, they're going to riot all weekend in Memphis. And they really didn't. The video is appalling. It's hard to watch. You know, it's bad when even the National Fraternal Order of Police, none of the pro-cop organizations are out trying to defend this thing. So if you haven't watched the video yet and you're just wondering, you know, should I give the cops the benefit of the doubt on this one? My instinct is saying no. I can't really imagine. You know, it's always, if you use your imagination and you try to think critically and objectively, there's always something in a lot of these cop videos where you think, all right, what happened right before they started filming? What's happening off video that you can't see that would make the cops behave in such a way that would justify all this? And frankly, I can't find an explanation for it. The video shows the cops beating Nichols, who was pulled over for a traffic stop. They say that he was reckless driving, which, as a lot of you might know, reckless driving is a pretty vague statement. Could mean anything.
The suspect was acting suspiciously.
Well, what was he doing? You know, did he peel out? Was he speeding? Speeding is speeding. That's not reckless driving. So the 29-year-old is trying to be compliant with the demands. At least that's what it appears to be. That's what the video seems to suggest. Some of the demands were somewhat contradictory. Some of them were impossible. You know, they're telling him not to move while he's being held upside down and they're pulling his arms. So now comes the part of the cycle where everybody calls for reforms. It's hard to look at a situation like this and think anything could make a difference. What? It's already illegal to do what the cops were doing. They were just beating him in public. You know, it was kind of reminded some people of Rodney King. And so a lot of the popular ideas here, like hire more black cops, make police wear body cameras, give them better gun training, ban the use of chokeholds. Those are not applicable here. The cops are all black. All of them. And by the way, that hasn't stopped plenty of people on the left from saying this is still white supremacy. You're probably thinking, well, that's stupid. And you're right. That is, calling this white supremacy is really dumb. But over the weekend, there's no shortage of these videos that surfaced on TikTok.
I got a message today for some white people, if we have white people listening.
She's white, by the way.
I wouldn't mind if you would do this with me. We rub our chests.
Rub your chest with the white liberal woman.
And we say, we did this.
We did it. Tyree Nichols. It says Tyree Nichols on the screen.
White supremacy did this.
White supremacy.
I'm talking about Tyree Nichols. The police didn't do this.
They didn't. Because I watched that video. It felt like they did.
The Memphis Police Department didn't do this. White supremacy did this.
Okay, lady, what if I told you that all of a sudden, this is just a hypothetical, what if all of a sudden evidence surfaced that suggested that that gentleman who died, Tyree Nichols, was involved in drug trafficking with these five cops, and he was about to go squeal to the police, so they killed him? Would you still use white supremacy as the argument for why he died, or would you realize that explanation actually has nothing to do with white supremacy? Now, again, that's not what happened. That's just a hypothetical. But I'm just saying, no. What if you found out that that guy, Tyree Nichols, was sleeping with one of those cops' wives? And the cops got together and they're like, we're sick of this. We're sick and tired of men sleeping with our wives while we're away at work. Let's pull that guy over and beat him to death. Now, again, that's just a hypothetical. I'm not saying that that's what happened. I'm simply asking the question here. Isn't it possible that there's always information you don't know that could take away from your gut instinct. You're conditioned to say white supremacy every time someone dies at the hands of a cop. These are all black cops. And someone might argue, they're like, well, only psychopaths want to be cops. You know who's the most upset about this? Good cops, of which there are plenty.
What the policing of, the culture of policing is just bad.
No, you are out of your mind, man. Who are you going to call if you get robbed? The Crips and the Bloods? What are you going to call your fentanyl dealer if somebody comes over and assaults your wife?
There's nothing, there's no amount of policy change here. This was already illegal. You can't change the laws if the cops are breaking the law. You just have to arrest them. At some point, we have to accept the fact that humanity is imperfect, and government can't solve that problem. Reporters are out right now, you know, trying to suggest that this was a cover-up. And you get that these guys were arrested almost immediately, right? Like, this happened earlier this month. It's still January. Wasn't that long ago. People in general really need to stop asking themselves, what's the government solution to every problem? There can't be a government solution to every problem. Well, we could have robotic police, and then they won't be racist. What do you... You know, there's people that say things like that. At some point, you just have to accept the fact that human beings are flawed, evil exists, and fortunately for us, the good people out there outnumber the bad people, and that's just the reality of things. Thank God they didn't riot this weekend in Memphis. Of course, next weekend hasn't happened yet.
Ken Webster. Ken Webster. Ken Webster.
This is Kenny Webster's Pursuit of Happiness on KPRC 950, Houston.
A new report claims 6 in 10 Americans don't have $500 in savings. Like college kids? Is that who they're asking this question to? $500 in savings, that is, wow, that's pretty alarming. I've heard these statistics before, like the average person can't afford a $1,000 emergency. And you think, oh, that is pretty concerning. But fortunately, we live in a welfare state where everything's free, including college. Remember that controversy from last year? I think that's still tied up in the court system. Is the federal government going to pay off student loan debt for all these different people that agreed to get a debt? You know, it's just becoming a very common part of life in America. College kids, it used to be you would send people to college so they could learn to be responsible, and now it kind of appears they learn to do the exact opposite. In fact, you used to send your kids to college so they could learn to be more tolerant of other people. Or I'm so crazy because I'm a millennial, but I'm an older millennial. So I remember the 20th century when we used to teach people to be colorblind. Now they don't do that anymore. We used to say, don't look at race. Don't judge someone because they're white or black or Hispanic or Asian or whatever. No. Don't do that. Judge them by the content of their character. I think it was Martin Luther King Jr. who said that. Well, apparently people on the left, particularly in the world of higher education, they don't feel that way anymore. There's a scholarship, a fellowship, as a matter of fact, that's being provided by the Country Music Association, probably exactly what you'd think it would be if you've never heard of them before. And they have some very odd requests here. Now, country music, as you know, is popular with people in, believe it or not, the country, the rural part of America, where I guess there's a lot of white people. And I don't know why, but that's a problem that needs to be corrected. There's a report. I'll let my next guest explain it to you. There's a report at the collegefix.com. Do you know, you guys know what that website is? The collegefix.com is a news outlet, but basically fact-based arguments, not a ton of opinion, although there is some opinion. They lean to the right. So just so you're aware of what you're getting into here, they're probably not down with this new woke culture that you see on college campuses. That really isn't new on college campuses. I guess it's been around since the 60s. But Matt Lamb is here. Matt, what is your role at the College Fix?
Thanks for having me. So I'm an associate editor at thecollegefix.com. So I work with about 30 students at any one time to basically train them in the art of journalism and help them consider a career in journalism and media.
Okay, you sound young, but you don't sound young like you're dumb, like you overuse the word like and and ah. You just don't sound like you're old enough to remember when Bill Clinton has his scandal with the cigar. Am I correct about that?
I think I was born around when that happened. So, I'm only 29.
Well, hey, that's fine. So you're technically a Zoomer, right? Or are you? No, I guess you're a younger millennial, right?
I'm on the cusp. My wife is Gen Z, but I'm an older generation of millennial, so... Well, right on the edge.
The fact that you're on this show speaks very highly of you. I always tell people that you're now part of a fine, the higher culture, as you've been a guest on KPRC in Houston. Matt, tell us what the hell is going on right now at the Country Music Association with their new fellowship.
Yeah, so they're sponsoring a diversity and inclusion fellowship. This is an article we put up a few days ago. And this is a program at the University of Tennessee, University of Alabama, and Belmont University that basically, you know, it's a good program in the sense that it's trying to get people involved in the music industry, teach them, you know, help them learn the ropes, but it's only open to BIPOC students, which means Black, Indigenous, people of color. So basically not white people. Sometimes that means not Asians. And so it probably violates the federal law. There's a retired professor, Mark Perry, used to be at the University of Michigan, Flint, who filed this complaint with the Department of Education and asked them to look into this, which they may or may not. Yeah, it basically excludes people who are white from this Country Music Association funded fellowship at these three universities.
Interesting. Okay, so a lot of questions here. First of all, isn't this illegal?
Right. That's his complaint. So Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 says that institutions of higher education that receive government money, which basically all of them except Hillsdale College and maybe a few others, they can't discriminate on the basis of race. That goes all ways. They can't exclude Black students. You can't exclude white students, which this program does. So the Country Music Association as a private group could conceivably run this program without running afoul of the law, but they can't give money and partner with the university and then have the university institute this problem that, as you said, probably violates the plain language of the law by excluding white students, which is a race, which means they're treating white students differently than Black and Hispanic students.
All right. So Belmont University is famous for having a lot of, I mean, they're known for having a lot of famous country singers attend there. Brad Paisley, Trisha Yearwood, I think, isn't that Garth Brooks' wife, Josh Turner. I don't claim to be an expert at country music or anything, but aren't those people all white?
Yes. Yes, they are. I mean, I guess that's the idea maybe of this fellowship is to bring more Black and Hispanic people into the country music industry.
I'm looking at photos right now on Google image search, which I know this is purely anecdotal, but I typed Belmont University students and I can't help but notice they're all white.
Right, exactly. So I guess that's another thing is who specifically get this scholarship. But as you know, of course, this is part of the woke agenda is that, you know, every single entity, every corporation is sort of being pressured to create some sort of, you know, anti-racism or diversity plan. The thing is, though, based off the history of other plans like this that exclude white students, it's likely they're going to have to change their program to be open to all people, which maybe defeats the purpose of the fellowship to begin with.
All right. So you see these news stories a lot because you work in the industry. You specifically cover news from the world of higher education. Isn't there a big problem right now at universities? Like I finished college back in the aughts, the early 2000s. So I don't remember a time when the multicultural center wasn't a welcome space for white kids, but that's kind of how it is now on a lot of campuses, right?
Absolutely. So for example, at the University of North Carolina, they actually have an art club that excludes white students. It's called Earth Tones. And then there's different, it's a pretty creative name. I'll give it to them.
Doesn't that almost like, why don't they just call it blackface? Like, doesn't it sound like that's what they're going for there?
Yeah, in some ways. But yeah, we cover all the time stories of different, usually it's like a STEM program, you know, but we only want BIPOC students in the STEM program. There was a MBA program at the University of Louisville that was sponsored by Yum Brands, which operates like Taco Bell and KFC, that only allowed, that excluded white males from the program. So this happens all the time. It's no longer just, you know, an idea or on a few campuses.
Yeah, interesting stuff. All right, you guys have a story today about George Washington University, a very expensive college, if I'm not mistaken. And apparently, and people are welcome to have whatever opinion they want about the Israel versus Palestine controversy. You know, you're welcome to hate Israel if you want. That's fine. But it does kind of feel like it's a delicate tiptoeing through criticizing Israel. You often find that the people that are the most critical of it generally often just have a big problem with the Jews. And I'm not suggesting this isn't some argument for more aid to Israel or whatever. Lord knows we spend enough money on our foreign policy. But there's a news story today about a college professor, Lara Shehi, at George Washington University, and she is actually, there's some federal complaints lobbed against her because of anti-Semitism, and this stems from the Israel versus Palestine stuff, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Ironically, she actually teaches a mandatory diversity course in this professional psychology program, and she said something which It sounds at first like she's being nice, but then when you listen to the second time, it's actually mean. She apparently told a student, "It's not your fault you were born in Israel," which is, it's not really a backhanded compliment. It's a direct insult, but it kind of sounds like she's trying to be nice, but obviously it's not. And by the way, so whether or not it's, you know, could you oppose Israel but not be anti-Jewish? I mean, yeah, I think there's an argument to be made, but you can't discriminate against someone based on their nationality. And saying, "I'm going to treat you differently because of where you were born," is like literally treating someone, I mean, or saying you don't like someone because they're from Israel, or implying it. She also made allegations, and then originally actually George Washington University sided with the students. I think they had like a discipline process. There was like marks on the report cards or something. And then there's a complaint open against the professor, which was also really open against the university. And now there's an ongoing, there's at least an investigation by an outside group, and perhaps the Department of Education will investigate this.
Okay, look, yeah, forget about the Israel-Palestine-Jewish-Muslim controversy for a minute. If somebody said, "It's not your fault you were born in Mexico," that would pretty obviously be an inappropriate thing for a college professor to say. Hey, before we sign off from this interview, you guys have a little good news today. From North Carolina State University, there's a sports broadcaster there named Gary Hahn. And I think this happened back in December during the Duke's Mayo Bowl. He got into a little bit of trouble for saying this during a live sporting event while he was doing commentary.
The Sun Bowl. And amongst all the illegal aliens down in El Paso, it's UCLA 14 and Pittsburgh 6.
All right, okay. So this is one of those things where out of context, it sounds pretty bad. But the day that he said this, there were all these news stories about illegal aliens in El Paso being taken up to blue states, blue cities up in the north, and the city of El Paso declaring a state of emergency over illegal immigration. He got suspended. Not shocking to anybody, because we know how sensitive the world is. But Matt, there's a happy update to this news story, isn't there?
Yeah, I guess he's back now. He was broadcasting the men's basketball game recently. He is back now. Yep, he's back in the booth. And you know, people say things, and certainly, like you said, out of context, you know, maybe it sounds kind of bad, but when you look at it, even, you know, liberal mayors are saying there's a problem with illegal immigration, or at least all the illegal aliens coming to their city is what disturbs them. It makes their dinner, you know, I mean, they interrupt their dinner, or they come to their city. But yeah, he's back. So that's a good news. He's back for making what is maybe at worst is just like a poorly worded joke.
Matt, are you old enough to remember in the 90s there was a film starring Charlie Sheen called Major League?
Yeah.
Okay. When I hear that guy's voice, this is what it reminds me of.
Into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside.
I don't know why it is, but sports commentators have the sound in their voice where if you get them to say anything even mildly funny, it's just hilarious to me. And maybe that's part of what upset people so much about it. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It does. Everything does sound funnier when a sports announcer says it. So I'm sure he'll be on the hot seat eventually again for another joke, but at least he's back now.
Matt Lamb is here. He's the associate editors of the College Fix. Matt, I am a big fan of your website, thecollegefix.com. I check it semi-regularly when doing prep work for our morning show and this afternoon show. I'm curious, if people don't regularly look at thecollegefix.com, how much do you guys charge for all that information and knowledge that you share?
It's all free. If anyone would like to make a significant donation, you can donate to us, but it's all free. Please take the link, share them on social, email them out. You know, if you're another radio host or commentator that wants to have us on, please reach out. And if you know of a college student, or you are a college student that wants to learn the art of journalism, you can reach out as well, and we'd be happy to train you.
I fully endorse that. I love that. People think you need to go to some expensive university and go to journalism school. And then while you're there, often is the case, these young people just get brainwashed. But Matt, I actually went to the University of Illinois, Chicago campus, studied journalism and mass communication. And would you believe it had the exact opposite effect on me?
Wow. I actually went to Loyola, and I never took a journal. I've never taken journalism class in my life. It's one of my proudest achievements besides being married and having kids.
Which one? Chicago, New Orleans? You know, there's one in
Chicago.
Los Angeles. The Chicago one. Hey, brother, I'm glad you're on our side, my man. Matt Lamb, The College Fix. Check out their website.
What is Pursuit of Happiness Radio? Basically, political memes in audio format. Pepe the Frog, eat your heart out.
713-212-5950 is the number if you want to call the show. But if you listen to this show regularly, you know I don't really take a lot of calls. I'm generally late to look at the call screen. The person that's on hold wants to talk about something I'm not talking about. And then when I wrap up what I'm talking about, I finally go to them. They've hung up. And it's but the reason why taking calls on this show has pretty much been a big mess in recent years. I apologize for that, but there's a better way to call the show. The easiest way to call the show, it saves you time, it saves me time, it's the best thing for the show, is to use the iHeartRadio app. iHeartRadio allows you to leave me a little 30-second recording. You can do that, and then you don't have to sit on hold. You just, while you're listening to this show, there's a button you push. You push the button, and then you leave me a little message that says, "Hey, Kenny, I just wanted to tell you you're wrong about this or you're right about that or something you didn't mention, blah, 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 blah." And then if you sit around a little bit, you'll hear yourself on the show and then you don't have to sit and wait on hold and waste your time and waste my time. And isn't that great? Doesn't that sound like a great system? And, you know, it doesn't cost a dime either. It's expensive out there. I live in a small condo in the city and I can't believe how expensive my electric bill is. I remember when I really started doing well at my career and making more money, I was so proud of myself. And then a short time later, the inflation crisis started. And suddenly I thought, wow, it's kind of like before. I'm making more money, but everything costs more. So I don't really feel like I have all that extra income, even though my paychecks say I do. Joe Biden screwed me over. God only knows what it's like for people that, you know, that haven't recently gotten a raise or whatever. You know, I'm not trying to rub it in anyone's face. And it's really hard for them out there. It's very difficult. In fact, a new survey shows that more than one third of adults, admit their parents are still paying at least one of their bills. I don't know what your situation is, if that's you. Maybe you're a college kid. We're talking about college in the last segment. Maybe you're just somebody that's been down on your luck and you're still on a group cell phone plan with your mom and dad, right? And, you know, not trying to judge you, but maybe you're just lazy. If you're one of those people, now there's a new place to borrow money.
If you're having a hard time making rent, go to one of the most reliable financial institutions.
The Bank of Mom and Dad is open for business.
The Bank of Mom and Dad.
Parents lending or giving money to their adult children.
The Bank of Mom and Dad can finance your housing,
car insurance,
phone bill,
streaming services,
and more.
My estimated contribution was zero.
The current mortgage rate is over 5%, but at the Bank of Mom and Dad,
your living at home loan rates can be as low as 0.0%.
The Bank of Mom and Dad. Member FDIC. Freeloaders Drawing Income Charity.
Do y'all work out at a gym? Do you have a gym membership? Maybe you see a trainer or you just go to one of those fancy 24-hour gyms with a pool and the rock climbing wall. Or maybe you live in an HOA, but you've got a gym that you and your other you share a gym, you know, live in a condo in the city, that sort of thing. If you do, you've probably noticed something. Or maybe if you're just on social media, you've noticed this. There's this trend lately where people videotape themselves working out. And this is very common. They're doing it to show their gains, or maybe they're giving a lesson in how to properly do a squat, that sort of thing. And as this trend has been taking place, there's been this unintended consequences. I don't think anybody expected this to happen. Women that work out in gyms will make a video of themselves working out, almost always in a sexy outfit. I'm not suggesting all women work out in sexy outfits. I'm speaking specifically about a trend. And in this trend that I'm talking about, women will be working out in a sexy outfit, and in the background, there will be some guy, and he looks at them. And then a minute or two later, he comes over and says something to them. And that could be any number of things, right? Maybe he's asking them if they're using the piece of equipment next to them, something like that. And then the woman will upload the video, and it'll essentially have some commentary that says, "Why won't guys leave me alone when I'm at the gym?" And I'm sure there are videos out there of men that are completely acting inappropriately with women. But I've noticed lately in a lot of these videos that have gone viral, the guy isn't really doing anything wrong. Maybe at worst, he has a crush on the girl and he's thinking of a reason to go talk to her. He's lonely. Men are lonely. She could be lonely. Who knows? She's not wearing a wedding ring. The guy thinks he'll say hi. But at worst, right? And at best, maybe it's possible he just looked at her because she's got her stuff scattered all over the place.
And he honestly doesn't know if she's using the machine next to her or not. He's like, is she using that thing? I want to do leg presses or whatever it is. I wonder if women would dress immodestly at a woman's only gym. I don't know. Other people have noticed this as well recently. In fact, women have noticed this. I read an op-ed recently by a person named Vita Duffy Alfonso. And she made an interesting point in the article. She was talking about how people in general should probably stop recording themselves at the gym, but she explained how it has a lot to do with what I'm talking about right now. The worst thing you could possibly do in a gym is not hoarding dumbbells or failing to re-rack plates. It's recording yourself. And again, you know, it's one thing if you're just trying to check your form, but there's this overwhelming number of social media influencers and wannabe influencers who set up a camera, record every part of their workout, and then post it on social media at the expense of making fun of everyone else in the gym or trying to make people uncomfortable. And so the perfect example is, you know, there's a Twitch streamer, it's a TikTok social media woman named Jessica Fernandez. And in the video, Jessica Fernandez calls a man who glanced at her and offered to help her load plates on her barbell. She called him feral and a stupid piece of effing S. According to her, the man, who appeared to be minding his own business, was staring at her like a piece of meat during her workout. And anyone who watches the video could tell that she is either lying through her teeth or completely delusional. Her video has since been deleted because a lot of people have pointed out it went viral for all the wrong reasons, right? She posted it and then other people started resharing the video like, wow, why is this woman such a B-word? But there is such a thing as self-absorbed gym girls pretending to be harassed in a gym. It is an entire genre on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok. I'm on Twitter, which means I see all the viral videos from TikTok about a week later. And usually they go viral for the wrong reason. Women will record their workouts and they'll point out how a man is glancing in their direction. They'll pause it. Right as the man looks, they'll pause it. And then they'll put an arrow on him like they're showing you footage of somebody that's about to kidnap a kid in a zoo or a playground. And then there's this woman, the woman whose gym attire could be described as nothing other than underwear. And again, you know, if women want to dress a certain way, that's okay. But if you wore a thong bikini to the pool, you wouldn't be shocked if people were looking at your butt, right? I mean, you've got your butt hanging out. Okay, what if you wore the equivalent of that to the gym? Right, isn't the answer to that question kind of obvious? There are even entire social media accounts dedicated to secretly recording and then ridiculing people for either their lack of strength or their improper use of gym equipment. Now, despite being illegal, many male gym influencers will record and post themselves flexing in locker rooms while unsuspecting people are changing in the background. It's a little awkward. So there's a disturbing level of narcissism and entitlement that comes along with this. And part of the reason why I think you're seeing this stuff so much lately, and this is just a theory of mine, it's because it's January. And if you don't immediately know what I mean by that, what do we tend to do in January? We do our New Year's resolutions, right? So now all of a sudden there's all these viral videos of people at the gym not working out correctly or acting a certain way or doing something dumb or being too flirtatious or looking at a girl too much. And I just got to wonder, how many of these people were working out in December? Like, did you just get a gym membership to pretend to work out? And then instead of actually working out, you decided to go produce viral videos where you gym shame people? To anyone who justifies recording yourself and others at the gym, it's one thing if you're just trying to videotape your gains. But there are some serious signs that you need to put the camera away if you're wearing makeup at the gym, if you're making fun of someone else, if you're illegally recording in the locker room, if you're bench pressing or squatting women or other things that aren't actual weights, you know, just a thought, you're thinking about what will get you attention instead of what will be a good workout. If you desperately need to do something to feed your ego, consider looking in a mirror and stop going to the gym. Because, you know, for crying out loud, dude, I need to use the Smith machine and you're taking forever.
Pursuit of Happiness Radio.
This is Kenny Webster's Pursuit of Happiness on KPRC 950, Houston.